Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. Just before we start, I would like to just ask a couple of very quick questions as a survey. How many of you are from the border region, if you can raise your hands? Okay. And how many of you are familiar with the colonias? Excellent. That's good. So we have a good audience to discuss about it. What I would like to present with you today is as a new, fairly new integrated health strategy with border colonias of West Texas that we are currently facilitating the process. We'll talk a little bit about the background for those that are not familiar with the colonias along the Texas-Mexico border. We're talking here about the U.S. side of the border, what it's called colonias, and we'll explain that a little bit. What are the objectives of this strategy, the current implementation, and the implications that this strategy has for the region. A little bit of background. This is our border region. Primarily, we're talking here between Texas and Mexico. There are about 1,800 to 2,000 colonias. Colonias are really defined as residential areas in extreme poor conditions, in general, with no basic services. We're going to go in detail on that. And according to different surveys, because there's no differentiation in the census data for colonias in particular, there are about a little over 500,000 people living in those conditions along the Texas-Mexico border. There are definitely colonias also in New Mexico, in Arizona, and California, but we also have to be a little careful because the definition of colonias in other states have different connotations for the ones that they have in Texas, and therefore may not mean exactly the same in the states that we are talking about. What are the challenges facing the border colonias? First, the access to the basic services that for many of us in the United States we are taking for granted. It's just infrastructure like water and sanitation. We have over 100,000 people. We're going to look a little bit of data on that, that they still do not have access to drinking water and sanitation. Housing condition. The issue there is primarily issue that is there is a catch-22 to provide funds for housing. There is rules, regulations in Texas that in order to provide funds for housing, they have to have water. In order to have water, they have to have a house up to code. Therefore, what comes first and comes it brings a catch-22 on the issues for these people and the housing conditions. There is a lack of health services, and even if they have access to certain health services through a card, like for example, the CHIP for the children's health card, they do not have services per se. So even though they may have certain type of Medicaid or CHIP, they may not have really the proper service near the area, because we are talking primarily rural and remote areas in Texas. The issue of unemployment comes up more in these regions, and definitely the issue of contract for deed, for those that are not familiar, because these people, the population, do not have access to credit, they tend to have a direct contract with land developers that it's named contract for deed. The conditions are such that the people do not owe their piece of land until they pay off for the whole property, which takes between 12 to 15 years, and therefore, there's no, if there is an issue that they cannot pay on a monthly installment, if there is, they can take the land from them immediately. There's no foreclosure procedures, and that's a direct contract between the developer and the person that lives there, which makes very, very vulnerable, and I guess the issue of social justice as part of the topic of this meeting, I think, is extremely important for this population. A little bit of numbers, we have access to basic services, from basic infrastructure service, from complete water and sanitation, what in Texas, Texas agencies define as the green colonias. We have about 145,000 people living in those conditions, all the way to what is of our great interest of no water or any kind of sewer system besides probably cesspools in general, even though sometimes they call it the septic systems, but it will be better defined if we call it the cesspools. And what they are unknown, that definitely they are unknown, we can consider they have no services. People do have services we already will know about. So we have about over 100,000 people living in those conditions, and we are talking here 2010, the United States in Texas, living in conditions that it appears to be like any other developing country, either in Africa or Latin America in some cases. Unfortunately, there's not too many health studies that have been done recently with the issue of water, in particular since we were talking about basic services regarding water and sanitation. I wanted to bring to you a little bit of data of one of the latest studies was just on 2003 that was done on first grade school children for different four different school districts that they are in areas where colonias are located. And what we can see for the parasites, prevalence of parasites go all the way from 10 to 53%. If we really look at Christoph Sporidium in particular, for developed countries, just to have an idea, the prevalence should be no more than between 3 to 5%. In developing countries, usually it's between 15 and 20%, and in this region, the parasitosis that we see is between 10 and 50%. So, and there are other studies that were published in the year 2000 that they show that for children between age 5 to 13 years old, the prevalence was about 80 to 90% of parasitosis. So definitely this is an issue, but unfortunately the current epidemiological surveillance systems that we have in the US cannot capture this picture of parasitosis in children, and especially in these very underserved areas where the epidemiological surveillance systems are usually precarious. What's the current legislation for the colonias in Texas that really helped us to move on in this strategy? Starts in 1987 with the Texas legislature that started to enact bills and resolutions to address the issues in border colonias. Primarily, the solution that the state of Texas at the level of the legislature has done is to, in a way, start to pour money into, in a way of grants to the whole colonia issue, primarily for infrastructure and water and sanitation. However, from 1999 and then in 2005, there are a couple of bills that really were, we can say it in other ways, at least coming from a partnership of an organization that tries to build partnerships, as James was mentioning before, trying to build partnerships among state agencies. And those are these two Senate bills that create the Colonias Initiatives Program, which is under the coordination of the Secretary of State of Texas, and in a way is trying to coordinate different Texas agencies that are working in the colonial issues. The strengths that these strategies that they have, this Senate bill has, is that finally they make different agencies to talk to each other and see what they're doing, and in a way trying to figure out from the position of working together as a state to help the people in the colonias. What are the challenges that they have that state in Austin? So it became more of a political strategy than really down to earth going to where the problem is in the different counties along the border and trying to work together. And still along the border, what we find is that they have different state agencies, they're working separately. And that initiative that really means to work all the agencies together is not really working as well when we go more at the county, at the local level where the colonias really are. So what we try to do, exactly that, to contribute to these integrated social processes with the different agencies. And then what we said is, let's define a strategy that is very simple. Let's try to work together. So first, let's strengthen the institutional collaboration among the state agencies at the local level, at the county level, where the colonias are located. Second is to answer the question is, what data are we going to use in order to see what we need to do? And is to really develop an integrated monitoring and evaluation system for these colonias that started to be built by this program of Colonia Initiatives Program. And finally, is how we're going to act together, how we're going to work together when we are there in the fields with the colonia. So how we integrate the human health and environmental product and services for colonia residents. Our role from the Pan American Health Organization is primarily to facilitate the process. And even though in the main issue of the strengthening institutional collaboration, it may sound really simple to say, okay, guys, we need to work together. All of you are working, for example, in El Paso region, where we have about over 300 colonias in between El Paso County and Hatchet County, which is even more rural. But funny enough, they're all pretty much in the same floor in the state building, and some of them, they didn't even know each other, that they were working on the issues of the colonia. So our first thing was to put them together in a room, and as simple as it sounds, it took us about a year that we developed what we call develop trust. The developing of trust is the key for the social capital that we try to build among the state agencies. Without that trust, we cannot really build that action plan that really can act together in the field. So it really took a long process of really trying to meet. And nowadays, pretty much the Secretary of State is the coordinator of the group. They call for a meeting on a monthly basis. Our role is as a technical secretariat. We take the notes, we keep them together. They need data, we offer the data. They need a result, we give them the result. So we keep them flowing as a group of these agencies that you see here, all these agencies, they're trying to work together from issues that they go all the way from water and sanitation to housing to public safety, which are really the priorities that have been identified in the colonias. When we came to the issue of data, even though there is an integral database that started to be built in 2005, we realized that all the agencies that were working with their own data, define indicators in their own way, identify their own sources, and therefore all the data had different origins, different validity, to say as well. I mean, the reliability and the validity of the data was not there. So what we agreed is on one topic that they can really work together. The agencies chose the topic of water as one of the main issues, and we chose to start working what we call the Water Poverty Index. It's a tool that was developed really in England. Originally, we were developing countries, then started to be used in Eastern Europe, and it's very appropriate to be used for the border region as well. And it's a way that all the agencies felt that they could identify with this index, because we're working in water issues that come all the way from resources and environmental impact, and working with agencies like the Texas Commission Environmental Quality, to the issues of capacity, which really is more community capacity, in which the Department of Health and the Community Affairs is working very strongly, and to issues of use and access to water, in which the Texas Water Development Board has the main issues here to put data together. So our role from the Pan American Health Organization is to get all the information from all the sources and go really a Delphi method, in which the agencies define the variables that they consider they're important. Once they agree that those are the most important variables, then we move ahead and says which weight you need to give to this information, and the agencies tell us the way that we need to go ahead and move it, and then we'll offer it the analysis and we'll do the analysis for them because of the lack of the technical capacity that they have at the local level. And finally, when it was decided how to then work together and act together, we really worked, it was decided by the group that they will work in two colonias in the beginning to see if that would work. Those are two of what we define the red colonias, the one that did not have water and sanitation in either case. One is in El Paso County and one in Hatchet County. And first of all, it was an assessment of community needs. So it was a community needs assessment. It was done. That's where we enter as an organization, because what we find is that each agency, they cannot really sponsor something that is intersectorial. So then it's one of the issues that we came and we tried to fund this community needs assessment that was done at an integral level, defined the two priorities, water and safety for these communities, and those are the issues that the agencies agreed to work on. Then we trained community health workers to help us to work and to be with the communities on those issues. And currently, the state agencies are going to do something that for them, at least in El Paso, is one situation that sounds for people who have worked in other parts of the country, maybe in other parts of the world, something so common just as a state fair. But in Texas, the government tends to be more hands-off of the issues of the community. But this is the first time that the state agencies felt that they wanted to be up to par what non-profit organizations really always have done in the typical health fairs that we have, and they are organizing their first state fairs to give to the people in the colonias, to tell them this is what your state can offer to you, which for us, I think, is one of those little great successes to really feel that they own now the strategy. We're working with them, but the strategy is a state-based strategy of different agencies that are trying to work together, and from then on to move forward. The implications that may have is how we can prove the effectiveness of this Colonias Initiative program at the local level, in the way we're doing in El Paso region, to move all along the border to work in a similar manner, and definitely to help advance more equitable policies and programs for colonias along the Texas-Mexico border. Thank you very much.